The second name in the Vishnu Sahasranama spoken by Bhishma Pitamaha, recorded in Mahabharata, is Vishnu. Which Vishnu, this name along with Narayana, are the two names, the two most common names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his feature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, Krishna, that's also a very common name. But Krishna, although he is undoubtedly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he generally functions, or functions, maybe it's not the right word, he generally acts not as the Supreme, in his day-to-day activities, you can say, he's Leela Parayana, Bhakta Vatsala. He acts as if an ordinary human being. Kritavankila Karmani, Saharamena Keshava, Atimatyani Bhagavan, Gurha Kapatamanushaha. The Bhagavatam describes that Keshava, Krishna, along with Rama, appeared in this world, performed various pastimes, apparently like a human being, even though he is beyond the status of human beings. He is Bhagavan. So, there are various terms which indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavan, he who is full in six opulences. Ishvara, the controller. Parameshvara, the supreme controller, to define more emphatically the term Ishvara. Prabhu, the master. These are various terms for the post of God. And Vishnu and Narayana are his specific names. Of course, there are many, the Vishnu Sahasranam, but these two are the most common names. And of the two, Vishnu is also used in a more official way. Vishnu, just like we say, Vishnu Sahasranam, Vishnu Tattva, Vishnu Shakti, this. Vishnu's to Trini, what is that? Vishnu's to Trini Rupa. Yeah, the three forms of Vishnu. It is not exactly defined like that, but generally it's so. Om Namo Narayanaya. It's when speaking of him in a manner beseeching him as our beloved, worshipable Lord, then Narayana is a more common term, whereas Vishnu, just like we have here, Vishnu, Vishnu, Tattva, Vaishnava, the term is derived from Vishnu, Vishnu Sahasranam, the 10 avatars of Vishnu. So, Vishnu seems to be a little bit more of an official name. The first name given in Vishnu Sahasranama is Vishva, which is generally understood to mean the universe or everything that exists. Although it can be defined, as, especially in relationship to Vishnu, as he who enters into everything. Just like we have the word pravish, vish, pravishanti. So Vishva. The Vishnu also means he who pervades everything, which is a slightly different meaning. Vishva means everything. So Krishna is everything, but still he's different from everything. And although he is everything, still he enters into everything. So that he enters into everything and pervades everything suggests that apart from everything being him, he's also different from it. Different, yet again not. He's different because he enters everything. He pervades everything. But in that way he is everything, because nothing is away from him. Sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarvaha. In Bhagavad Gita we find Arjuna prays to Krishna that you cover everything. Therefore you are everything. There's nothing is separate from Vishnu. Yeah, could everyone please turn off the cell phone? So Krishna, Vishnu is everything. He enters into everything. He pervades everything. Yet he is separate from everything. Vishnu, this name that he pervades everything, that is the same meaning as the name Vasudeva. Vasudeva means he who is everywhere or lives everywhere. So that directly links, then Vishnu means Vasudeva, means Krishna. So these are all interlinked. He is everything, and therefore all names indicate Vishnu. There's no name or no word which cannot be understood in relationship to Krishna. Sometimes we find that in the Bhagavatam we find various demons blaspheming Krishna. But the Vaishnava Acharyas, especially Vishnu-Chakravarti Thakur, they explain these terms of the demons, who are not meaning to praise Krishna, but all these terms can be understood in ways that praise Krishna also. So Vishnu-Chakravarti Thakur says that while meaning to blaspheme Krishna, and they understood it as such, and those who are demoniac understood it as such, and probably others who are not demoniac also understood it as such. But Saraswati had entered their intelligence, not wanting them to blaspheme Krishna, and caused them to utter words which could be understood in a manner that praises Krishna. Just like we find, I believe it was Shishupal called Krishna Purushadham. Purushadham, Purushadham. So this means Purusha, person, Adhama, which means the lowest of all people. But Vishwacharya Thakur analyzes this can also mean he who makes all others go down, in other words, he who is above all others. So in this sense, Purushadhama can be understood as Purushottama. So the definition of Vishnu, this name, the dictionary definition, Nirukti, sorry, from Nirukta, Vivesha Bhutani Characharani. He who enters all living beings, moving and non-moving. So yeah, Vishnu, this three Vishnus to Trini Rupani, the three forms of Vishnu by which he pervades and controls the universe, are the Mahavishnu or Karnadakashayi Vishnu, who is the Paramatma of the everything outside the spiritual world, from whom the universes manifest in seed form and again enter into him. Then as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he enters every universe. And as Shirodakshay Vishnu, he's also within every universe in his own particular planet, Shvetadvip. And he's within the heart of every living being. And within every atom. And he is the active principle of everything. Nothing works without Vishnu. We find in the Purusha Sukta, and that's also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that all the various Purush of the, or the form of the universe. The universe was created, and all the different devatas entered their respective parts. The devata of sight entered, the devata of hearing entered, the devata of passing stool, everything. There's a demigod for everything. Everything. Every function is controlled. If you sneeze, there's the sneezing devata also, oversees everything. So everything is caused by various demigods, but still, the Purush, the form of the universe, did not come to life. Nothing could work until Vishnu entered. So Vishnu is the life of everything. Nothing works without Vishnu. He enters into everything, and everything functions due to his presence. He gives physical energy, mental energy, matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. He is the life of everything. So they will find also in Vishnu Sahasranama the name prana. So that's, prana means the life force. So he is the life force of everything. By entering into everything, he energizes everything. So, he who is present in all living beings, moving and non-moving, that is the dictionary definition of Vishnu. Although there may be many more definitions. As the overseer of the sattva guna, he's and the maintainer of the universe, he is part of what is called the Trimurti, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, who respectively oversee creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. But actually all these functions go on under the control of Vishnu. Simply, some other functions are outsourced, you could say, or delegated to others. But just as a manager in a company may delegate some tasks to others, to other responsible sub-managers. But still, the responsibility rests with the manager or the CEO. So in the same way, ultimately the responsibility rests with Vishnu. And of course, he's not irresponsible. When others are not able to, when even Brahma has difficulties, or even Shiva has difficulties, then at that time Vishnu helps them, as we find in the case of Brahma. Sometimes he faces difficulty being attacked by when the different demigods come to him complaining of the terrible demons that are causing so many problems. Brahma says, all right, now it's time for Vishnu to come. He doesn't personally sort that out. Lord Shiva also, we find in the case of Vrikasura, who Vishnu delivered him. So Vishnu, he oversees sattva guna, which is translated as the mode of goodness. That way, sattva means existence. So that which he oversees existence. And the apparent bringing into existence and destruction of existence, that is overseen by Brahma and Mahesh. Now, generally it's thought that Vishnu, this name, is only suitable for outside of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna is known as Gopal, Govinda, Giridhari, Gopinath, so many, Mukunda. But actually many of these names, they're also known outside. Damodar is especially a Vrindavan name. But many of these names are known outside. Many of the names outside Vrindavan are also used inside Vrindavan. Just like Murari, we'll find in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, is a name for Krishna. Now we don't find the Mura demon in Vrindavan. And actually, chronologically, the Mura, he was killed by Krishna after he left Vrindavan. So, many of these names, they can be used in relation to Vishnu also. Govinda, Madhava, all these names. But there are certain names which are more associated with Vrindavan pastimes, and generally it's thought that Vishnu is not one of them. But we find also that we'll find in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam description of devotees in Vrindavan, or specifically meditating on Krishna in Vrindavan, using the name Vishnu. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they were, even before they had Krishna as their child, they were Vaishnavas. Means they were worshipping Vishnu. We find that Yashoda Rani, she would pray when Krishna was apparently in trouble with the demons, her young child, she would pray to Lord Narayana, that if I ever did any service to you, which she'd done throughout her life, she was worshipping Vishnu, then you please save my child. And she would always attribute Krishna's apparently miraculous deliverance from the demons due to the mercy of Narayana. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu, we sing in the Damodarashtakam. So, Damodar Leela is very much Vrindavan Leela. There's no. In Dwaraka, and definitely not in Vaikuntha, there's no tying up Krishna and chasing him with a stick to punish him. That's very much a Vrindavan Leela. But the Satyavrata Muni meditating on Krishna's Damoda Leela says, Namo Deva Damoda Ananta Vishnu. So there's recognition of, even while there's meditation on the very sweetness of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing to be so much subordinate to his devotee that he agrees to be tied up by his devotee. So, but at the same time, well, that's part of the sweetness of the Leela. I mean, mother punishing their child for doing something wrong is nothing unusual. It's not going to be in the newspapers unless they do something really beyond the bounds of normal punishment, giving a slap or chasing them with a stick. Of course, nowadays that might be considered wrong, but throughout human society, up until the present time, it's a very common thing that the mother will at least threaten to slap, or maybe actually slap, not the child, for doing something wrong. And Krishna definitely did something. He's a very bad child. I mean, mothers would complain. Sometimes mothers complain, oh, a child is just too naughty. It just becomes just too much. Can you imagine the Yashoda, she's, because Krishna is stealing butter, she's keeping special cows, feeding them special grass, keeping that milk especially for Krishna, churning it into yogurt, and so much effort, and Krishna just comes along and breaks the pot. And wouldn't you be frustrated? What are the mothers saying? They'd be frustrated. They'd complain, right? It's just too much. They don't love their children, but it's just children. They may act in completely illogical ways. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And they have to be trained. Otherwise, if they're not trained, they may go on throughout life like that, which we see in people grown up, people in the modern age. They often act egoistically, like spoiled children, even though they're supposed to be adults. Especially here in Tamil Nadu, we see the posters. People get a political post and they put their poster everywhere. Like they're so egoistic, they want to see their poster on every street corner. Just like childish, spoiled children, that they want to be, everyone should see me. Even they put some lions next to them. It's only in the poster. They wouldn't dare to go near a lion if there's a real lion. But they put in the poster some lions at the feet. So there's nothing unusual in a mother chastising her child. But then why are we commemorating that after so many years, singing songs about it, having special one whole month dedicated to remembrance of it? It seems to be a very strange religion. But the point is, because Krishna is Vishnu, the residents of Vrindavan, they kind of know that, but they kind of know it, but they're not really that much cognizant of it, because they just love Krishna, not because he's Vishnu, but because they're charmed by Krishna's qualities. They're not awed by his greatness. But that is the charm of Vrindavan Leela, that adds to the charm of all the Leelas. All the Leelas of the Lord in all his forms are simply charming, just like we see in Nrisimhadev. What a fierce form he assumed. Why? For the sake of one devotee. Small boy, who hadn't actually really done anything for him. Prahlad was just a small boy. He didn't really do anything. He didn't go out and preach all over the world. He hadn't built any temples. He hadn't really done, you could say he hadn't really done anything, but he just loved Krishna. Only just loved Krishna. Well, that was it. That was the qualification by which Nrsimhadev upset the whole universal order. Of course, Hiranyakashipu had upset it, so Nrsimhadev's upsetting the universal order was putting it back in the right order. But he came, Nrsimhadev came not so much to rectify the situation in the universe as to protect his devotee. So that's what makes it very sweet. Gajendra Moksha Lila, the devotee in the form of an elephant in the jungle. What's the big thing? You know, some elephant in the jungle is being smitten by a crocodile. Who cares for that? I mean, alright, someone might, if someone, human being happened to be there, they might try to help the elephant or something like that. But the Supreme Lord himself came out of affection for his devotee. So this point that Krishna is Vishnu, remembering that makes remembrance of his pastimes all the more sweet. That remembering that he has got nothing to gain from us. He is inherently far superior to us in every respect. But out of his kindness, he comes as if he were one of us. That he comes to, yeah, he comes to save his devotees. He comes as Nrsimha, this Prishni Garbha who delivered Gajendra. And then in his human-like forms, we say human-like, although actually the human forms are a reflection of the godlike forms, but we say from our perspective human-like forms, they are the sweetest leelas, because he after all, if God is in the form of a half lion, half man, or a fish, or a pig, it's not so easy to interact with him in a very intimate manner as if he's a human. So this Krishna jate kela sarvatam naralila naravapu taha swarup. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it's described that among all Krishna's plays, he's playing. His leela is game for him. Krishna jate kela. Sarvotam naralila. The best of all are those in the human-like form. And his very form, his, what we may call his original form, is naravapu. It's the human-like form. So there's, in those we have, well, Parashuram is an empowered incarnation. We don't hear so much of loving exchanges with him. He's very violent form, killing all the kshatriyas. Vaman Leela, it's very sweet. He's living with the demigods as their own relation, as the brother of Indra. And, well, he doesn't spend so much time with Indra. He leaves Indra and lives with Bali. Condemned, first he condemns him, cheats him, takes everything away from him, condemns him to the lower regions, and then he goes and lives with him as his servant. So these are all very sweet leelas. Ram Leela is very sweet. Buddha Leela, not very sweet. We don't feel it's devoid of any sweetness. Only Buddha means intelligence. Only intelligence, but no sweetness. No lila, we can just intelligence, intelligent observation of this world. Kalki also. I mean, sweetness must be there. The Supreme Lord is not devoid of sweetness at any time. But different qualities are manifest in different avatars more. And Krishna is Prem Purushottam or Lila Purushottam, because all the qualities of Bhagavan are fully manifested in him. And the most important of those is prem, love for his devotees, which is manifested in his lila. So he's known as Prema Purushottam or Lila Purushottam. Lila Purushottam, of course, all the different Vishnu forms have their lilas, but most of their lilas are for the, they have some function to perform in the matter of universal affairs. Specifically, Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Ridayanti Yoge Yoge. He comes in every age to deliver the universe from the enemies of Indra. Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashayata Dushvitam. So this Krishna also does, but that is his Vasudeva feature or Vishnu feature for maintaining the universe. But his own lila, is his own personal lila, is actuated simply by love for his devotees. So the love that Krishna has for his devotees, how he becomes subordinate to his devotees. What makes this all the more charming is to remember that after all, he is Vishnu. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we find that in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, concerning Krishna's boyhood pastimes, there are several mentions of Vishnu. Nanda Maharaj at the birth ceremony of Krishna gave charity to the Brahmanas with the aim of satisfying Vishnu. So they all, the Vrajavasis, they all know that Vishnu is the Supreme Lord and they worship him. And sometimes they become somewhat cognizant. It's like they know, but they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Even Krishna himself, he knows, but he doesn't know. He knows and he doesn't know at the same time. You understand? No. We can't understand. It's not possible. Krishna understands, maybe. Because Krishna can do things which we can't even imagine. So Krishna, he never forgets that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when he's in Vrindavan, he forgets. But he doesn't forget. So he switches in between. He'll be crying for, sitting on his mother's, or crying for his mother, now you feed me. The next moment he's carried away by some demon, some whirlwind demon, and kills the demon. Kills the demon means he's Vishnu. Or Putana, he comes like a little child to suck her breast, kills her as Vishnu. Then again he plays on her huge dead form, like a little child found something new to play with. So like this, he's Vishnu and not, he is Vishnu and he forgets that he's Vishnu, but he never forgets. So there's no use to even try to explain this, but simply we have to accept that being the Supreme Personality of Godhead means that one, that particular person has possibilities and powers which are to us not even conceivable. Therefore, he's called Achintya, inconceivable. And if it were not so, then what would be the meaning to him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead? If he had to be within the boundaries of our understanding. So Nanda Maharaj understood that Krishna was Vishnu. When Krishna gave a vision of Vaikuntha to all the Vrajavasis, that they're all destined for there. So after he had been in the water with Akrura, when Akrura was coming to Vrindavan, he was praying, now I'm going to see Vishnu directly. And when he was taking, means Krishna, when he was taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, he stopped to take his bath in the sacred Yamuna. And while he was taking bath, he saw Balaram as an antashesh lying down with Krishna as Vishnu resting on him. Well, you don't usually get that kind of vision, do you, when you go to take bath in a river? So he did, and then he came to the shore and saw Krishna and Balaram. He was just trying to work it out. How is that? Is Krishna and Balaram the young boys that I'm taking to Mathura? And I just saw them as Vishnu and Ananta. And Krishna said, what's going on? Did you see something unusual? So like this, Krishna plays very innocently, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With our little intelligence, if we have a little devotion by the mercy of Krishna received through his representatives, we can understand that it's a lot more fun being Krishna than Vishnu. Krishna likes to be happy. Everyone likes to be happy. So there's happiness being Vishnu. But it's very formal. There's not much joking in Vaikuntha. And even if there is, it's within certain boundaries. Maryada means within limits. There's no wrestling with the cowherd boys climbing on the back of Krishna. Some of the things that happen in Vrindavan between Krishna and the gopis are so informal. It's beyond the imagination of those in Vaikuntha. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami describes how Gopakumar, who was searching throughout the whole material world and the whole spiritual world, where he could be satisfied, how he could be satisfied. Gopakumar entered Vaikuntha, but he refused to dress as a resident of Vaikuntha. He maintained his dress as a cowherd boy of Govardhan. So when he was brought to see Vishnu, everyone warned him, now, control yourself, be a good boy. You have to be very formal in the presence of Vishnu. Don't run up to him or any sort. You just have to stand up. You have to stand before him with folded hands. That's all. And offer him prayers. So Gopakumar, he agreed, and they brought him to see Vishnu. But as soon as he saw Vishnu, he saw the beautiful Shamarup, this blackish form, looking just exactly like the Krishna he was always looking for, and he ran toward him to embrace him and was immediately captured by the guards and told him, don't do that, we told you not to do that. He said, oh, sorry, I forgot. So he became very unhappy because he wanted to embrace Vishnu, but That may be allowed in Vaikuntha if Vishnu embraces you, but you can't go up to him and embrace him. Generally a very formal atmosphere. Whereas Krishna is the same Vishnu, but very informal. So that knowledge of that increases the love of Krishna, knowing that he's so great. Yeah, so I was saying how Yashoda would think that Krishna is, all these calamities are happening to Krishna, but because Narayan is protecting us, Krishna is not getting harmed. We find that all the gopis, they invoke the different names of Vishnu to protect Krishna, and they said that by chanting the names of Vishnu, all the ghosts and bad spirits will flee away. So they didn't want Krishna to be attacked by ghosts, so they invoked the names of Vishnu. Gargacharya, when he came for the name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram, he didn't quite say, but almost revealed to Nanda Maharaj that Krishna is actually Vishnu. He said, your child is as powerful as Vishnu. Who can be as powerful as Vishnu? Must be Vishnu. Idanim Krishna, Krishnatam Gata. What is that verse? How does that begin? Shuklo Raktas Tata Pita Idanim Krishnatam Gata. Gaga said to Nanda Maharaj that your child has appeared many times previously in many forms. Previously he appeared in a white form, a red form, a yellow form, and now he has appeared in a Krishna form, blackish, black form. So in this way, Garga, he gave an indication. Actually, this is Vishnu. Generally, people consider Krishna to be the eighth avatar of Vishnu, which is true from one perspective. That's stated in Shastra, so it can't be untrue. It's true from one perspective. But the more complete perspective is that all the Vishnu forms emanate or come from, he's the origin of all the Vishnu forms, even though they're all eternal. Just to give an example, in Britain, the prince, it often happens, like this Prince Charles, who's now in line to be the next king, I'm pretty sure he did, and Prince Andrew, in their youth they joined the armed forces. Prince Andrew, I believe he was part of the Navy, and he served in a war also. He was flying the helicopters on dangerous missions. Before they had computer-guided missiles, they had these heat-seeking missiles. So the missile would find the heat, that's where the engine is, and then hit the ship and sink it. So this was in the Falkland Islands War. Anyway, getting off on a bit of a tangent here. So the missile would be shot from the enemy ship, and Prince Andrew would be flying a helicopter to divert the missile away from the ship. So the missile would come flying at the helicopter instead of the ship. And then the helicopter at the last moment had to just jump up. And then the missile would just fly and go in the sea without any harm. So it was somewhat dangerous mission. Some people doing that, they got killed doing that. So anyway, Prince Andrew was in the Navy. So even though he's in a position higher than the highest admiral in the Navy, but because he's acting as a Navy officer, he has a role within the Navy also, as an officer or whatever. And to follow the protocol, he takes orders from senior officers and acts as an officer within the Navy. Even though, theoretically, he can give orders to everyone. Everyone understands that actually he's in a higher position than everyone, but he takes a certain position as if he's just part of the normal proceedings. So in the same way, Vishnu is described as being the source of all avatars, including Krishna. So Krishna comes because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He comes as an avatar of Vishnu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is God, 100% Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead plus more. More than just being God, he's the son of Mother Yashoda, which is more than and not less than God. So these are all points which can be understood, not exactly by brain power, but by bhakti. This is Vishnu Tattva Vichar, consideration of the principle of Vishnu by which he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is better understood, his pastimes are better understood by Rasa Vichar, by understanding that God is not just God officially, but unofficially also. So the unofficial part is the really interesting part. That's Rasa Vichar. So Vishnu Sahasranam establishes the Godness of God. Having understood that, we come onto his ungodly pastimes, his immoral pastimes. They may seem to be immoral to persons who don't understand the transcendental morality of Krishna, in which the underlying principle is that Krishna lives only for his devotees. And what is required to protect and nourish and please his devotee, that Krishna does. That is his morality. He's exceedingly biased. As Vishnu, he is samoham sarvabhuteshu namedvesho stinapriyaha. He's neutral. As is suitable for the ruler, he's neutral. He doesn't favor anyone or disfavor anyone. But ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maiteteshu chapyaham. He's extremely partial to his devotees as Krishna. He's in all Vishnu forms, but especially Krishna, that he accepts that for generations people will call him immoral, a liar, a cheat, and so many things. He accepts all this to see that his devotees are protected and nourished. So Vishnu Sahasranam we can study, and then understanding how great is Vishnu, and this Vishnu is being tied up by Mother Yashoda. This Vishnu is pining that where is Radha? She has not come. Maybe she's rejected me. So these are the mysteries. At the beginning of the Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami, which we are enjoined not to read unless we actually come to the platform of being fully in tune with Krishna, that if we have any material desire, we shouldn't dare to touch that. But at the beginning we can touch, where Jayadeva Goswami, the author, he establishes who is this Govinda who is having pastimes with Radha. So that is Keshava Dhrita Dashavidha Rupa Jaya Jagadishahara, the Supreme Lord, the controller of all the universes. Keshava, he says Keshava Dhrita. Keshava, the original form is Keshava, who's taken all these different forms. So many forms. So again in the 10th canto, the Yamalarjuna, Manigriva, Nalakuvara, the sons of Kuvera, they prayed to Krishna after being delivered from him, from the former trees. They prayed to him as Vishnu. Sukadev Goswami comments that by expanding himself into the forms of the calves and the cowherd boys after Krishna, his own calves and cowherd boys had been stolen by Brahma. By doing so, Krishna proved the statement that the universe is pervaded by Vishnu. Brahma, he didn't recognize Krishna as Narayana. He thought that this is very strange. Narayana, I know, he's my father. He's the Lord of everything. And I saw that Narayana had appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. I saw that four-handed form. But now something seems to have gone wrong, because Narayana doesn't do things like this. Every day going out with some cows, barefoot, and just eating some food, with sometimes with his left hand. And even these boys, they're just very ordinary people, these young boys, they're just some village boys. They go with him, they fight with him. Something went wrong here. What happened to Narayana? I don't think this is Narayana. Something wrong. This can't be Narayana. It's not, we know Narayana. He's supreme, powerful, great. This is not Narayana. Brahma was very doubtful. He was wondering what had gone on. So he thought to test what's going on. So he stole the calves and cowherd boys. He thought, well, see, if I can take them away, that means he's not Narayana. Then he thought, wait a minute, what if he is Narayana? Then I'm in trouble. Then he went back again and he saw that all the cows and calves and cowherd boys, they're again with Krishna. So wait a minute, I just kidnapped them. He looked back and saw they're still kidnapped. And then he saw they're still with Krishna and he couldn't understand what's going on. Then he saw every calf and cowherd boy as a form of Narayana. And each one of them was being praised by all the bands of the demigods. Then he thought, oh, he really is Narayana. So this proves that by doing this, Krishna showed to Brahma, he established the principle that Vishnu is all-pervading. Krishna can take any form, any time, any place. Krishna lifting Govardhan, that is described in Bhagavatam as Dadhara Lilaya Vishnu. Dadhara Lilaya Vishnu. That Vishnu, as his Leela, he held Govardhan Hill. So this is an interesting topic. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Nanda Gopal, he appears as an ordinary person. Holding up a hill, that's the kind of thing that Vishnu does. When he exhibits some extraordinary potency, that's an exhibition of his Godness. So by holding up Govardhan Hill, that was his Vishnu. Or is it? Because this Leela is the very sweet Leela of Krishna. Maybe in all of the Vraja Leela. Of course the Rasa Leela is very famous. Damodar Leela is very famous, and Giridhari Leela. So maybe these three are the most famous, and Krishna is most glorified as Giridhari, Girivaradhari, Govardhanadhari. So is it Krishna doing this or Vishnu? Well, Krishna is Vishnu. And sometimes he exhibits such potencies, not for killing any demons. Of course, in this case, it was practically a side issue, although it might have appeared to be the main issue, that he was curbing the pride of Indra in lifting Govardhan. But the real thing was that he was there together with all the Vrajavasis for 7 days and 7 nights together. So Krishna exhibited such potency, which is unusual for a young boy to lift a mountain. It's not a very common thing, is it? But the Vrajavasis, they were so convinced that Krishna is just one of them, that they thought, well, if he's doing it, then we should be able to do it also. So sometimes, sometimes Krishna, when he's very young, then he's Nanda Maharaj, he brings the padukas, the wooden shoes of Nanda Maharaj. With great difficulty he carries them, because they appear to be, he brings them to Nanda Baba. They seem very difficult to him to carry such things. The cowherd boys, they wrestle with Krishna. Sometimes they defeat him. So they thought, well, if Krishna can hold a hill, we can too. So sometimes during the 7 days, they would say, hey, Gopal, you must be getting a little tired holding that hill. Maybe someone else can hold it. You can take a break. So Krishna just let them a little bit, and they couldn't do it. They could have done it if Krishna had empowered them to do so, but Krishna, he had some special purpose to be together with all his devotees, all together, under the Govardhan Hill. So that's Dadhara Lilaya Vishnu. By Vishnu, he's the Supreme Lord. Again here, Vyasadeva is reminding us, don't doubt, don't think he can't do it. This is just his pastime. He's Vishnu. He can do it. He can do it. He holds up millions of universes. As Ananta, he holds the whole universe on his head. Just like if you had a mustard seed on your head, would you feel it as a great burden? Not at all. You wouldn't even be conscious of it. So in the same way, Ananta holds the universe on his head, and he's not even aware of it. He's just in bliss glorifying Krishna. He's not even aware. It's like he has a mustard seed on his head. So in the same way, for Krishna to hold up millions of universes, it's no difficulty for him. So what is the difficulty for him to hold up a hill? So he's not glorified in Govardhan Leela for picking up a, for the fact that he picked up a hill, and that's something very glorious, he's a weightlifting champion or anything like that. But because of the sweet pastimes, the sweet exchanges he enjoyed with his devotees at that time. Again, Krishna in Vrindavan, the brahmanas who are performing yajñas, after their wives had gone to Krishna, bringing Krishna the food which was supposed to be offered in the yajña, and the brahmanas had become angry, then afterward they realized that, oh, you see, we're performing these yajñas, and the yajñapati, the Lord of Sacrifice, is Vishnu, and he personally came and asked for the food, and we didn't give it to him. So, how condemned are we? Dik, dik, they said. They're condemning themselves. So they recognized Krishna is Vishnu. They recognized too late for themselves. Then, another famous and important verse in the 10th canto. This comes at the end of the description of Krishna's rasalila. Vikriritam vrajavidhu biridam ca Vishnoho. After describing the rasalila of Krishna, Vyasadeva, he reminds the hearers that these are pastimes of Vishnu. Do not be dismissive. Do not be envious or blasphemous. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, Vishnu, in his Narayan form, he doesn't have rasa. Krishna has rasa, but he is, we should remember, he is Vishnu. There's nothing blameworthy. Everything is perfect in Vishnu. So the gopis, when they were lamenting that in separation from Krishna, they also said that he's like Vishnu. So they're aware of Vishnu, and sometimes they're aware that Krishna is Vishnu, but they're aware in Vrindavan, the awareness that Krishna is Vishnu, it never predominates over their simply loving Krishna, because he is their Krishna. He is Shama Sundara, Yashoda Nandana. That's how they know Krishna. Whereas in Mathura and Dwaraka, everyone is very aware that he's Vishnu. But still they have a loving relationship with him. But it is that loving relationship with him, that love is within certain boundaries of proper etiquette, understanding that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Krishna told Arjuna, we find in the Mahabharata, that because I have pervaded the horizons, means everything up to as far as can be seen or imagined, and as my glory stands foremost, and as I have measured by steps, the three referring to Vamandev, covering the whole universe, so therefore I am named Vishnu. So these are some meditations on the name Vishnu. Hare Krishna. That's all I'll say now, unless anyone has any question. No? All right, then we'll finish there. If you have a question, yeah, please ask it. Yeah, what's the question? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela seems to be more difficult, more human-like, is it? More difficult to understand. He seems to be less godlike even. Yeah, he does. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally doesn't perform activities like Krishna does of killing extraordinary demons in extraordinary ways. Generally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't do such things. He may appear to be very human-like. Although his miracles, if you want to call them, they're more than those of Krishna, because to bring envious, ignorant people to pure Krishna consciousness is more of an achievement than holding up the universes or showing the universal form. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes shows the universal form also. Yeah. Anything else? How can we convince people who are chanting Vishnu Sahasranam? How can we convince people that Krishna's name is more recommended than Vishnu name? Well, that's stated in Shastra. That then 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Ram. One name of Ram is equal to 3 names of Vishnu. Hare Krishna mantra is recommended for Kali Yuga. So Shastric statements are there. Practically we can see also. Srila Prabhupada has brought the Hare Krishna mantra. What is the effect of that? If people are chanting Vishnu Sahasranam, that's a lot better than most of the people. So we didn't blame them for doing that. Yeah, you wanted to ask something? How to understand the apparent contradictions between different paramparas between Krishna and Vishnu as the Supreme. Well, they're both correct, but it's from different perspectives. From the perspective of greatness, power, Vishnu exhibits that, actually Krishna does, but in between he exhibits human-like pastimes. But from the platform of love, Krishna is Supreme. So what are you attracted to more? The greatness of God or the beauty, kindness, sweetness and love of God? So both are correct. Those who are more attracted to the greatness, the power and majesty of God, they will be more attracted to the Narayan form and they will accept Him as Supreme. Although knowing that Krishna and Narayan are non-different. Those who are more attracted to kindness, sweetness, beauty, and love of God, they'll be attracted to Krishna and accept Him as Supreme. But Krishna Himself accepts the sweet pastimes of Vrindavan as Supreme, and the sweet devotees of Vrindavan as Supreme. So, Hare Krishna, we'll finish there.